Hey, let's have some fun with the news, shall we?
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Now, independent journalist Jonathan Cho, formerly with Channel 4, he's got some new gig, so he's going to drop by to tell us about that. I promised you that I would stay in touch with Jonathan because I think so many people admired what he was doing covering the city's homelessness crisis. So I was afraid he was going to be leaving town because he's not from here originally. So he says he's got a new gig. So I'll talk to Jonathan Cho in a few minutes to find out what's up and to honor my promise that I would stay in touch. But with that is mere prelude. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
I am all for people earning whatever they can make in the private sector, because it's generally free market capitalism at work. You are paid what somebody values your work at. You know, like I talked a couple days ago with this woman who's running for Congress, and she says that she wants to raise the minimum wage to $30 an hour. Well, I'm sorry. There are a lot of jobs that don't produce $30 of value to their employer every single hour. And so those jobs will all disappear because businesses are not in the business of taking a loss unless that business is government. There are a couple of stories in the news today that I want you to know about. Because as I was talking about right before the top of the hour, right now my heart is with the poor and working class families and individuals who are getting smothered by inflation. You go to the grocery store and you know it ain't 8% inflation like the federal government tries to peddle. It's more like 20-30% inflation at the grocery store. And then you go to the gas pump where gas has nearly doubled. And those are such a huge part of most families' budget, especially in, you know, the lower 50% of income. That's the higher percentage of your income that you pay for food and gas. And you know it's not 8% inflation. You know the real inflation rate right now is running 20-30% for families. And so I find it rather insulting when politicians are giving themselves gigantic raises right now, when so many of the taxpayers are having trouble feeding their families and putting gas in their car and making ends meet. Down in Tacoma, the city of destiny, you know. Down in Tacoma, the city manager, Elizabeth Pauley, has just received a raise and additional benefits in an annual performance review that was approved by the city council this week. She was making $278,000 a year. But now, Elizabeth Pauley, she got a $9,100 raise. So her salary is now $287,872. $287,000. But that's not all of it. The city council also amended her contract to give her 20 days of administrative leave. What? Now, vacation is separate from administrative leave. What city manager needs 4 weeks of administrative leave on top of vacation? Oh, but that's not all. The city council also gave the city manager a one-time lump sum payment of $20,000 into her 401k plan. And they're going to keep paying the maximum deferred compensation up to the limits. So $6,500 into a 457b plan that city employees are eligible for. And all of this is retroactive to May 16th. So the total cost of the raise and the benefits is more than $30,000. More than $30,000. She was making 278 grand. gets almost a $10,000 raise, but an additional 4 weeks of administrative leave, which means that she's going to be working about 10%, well, 1/13th, whatever that is, but 8% less, but gets all these raises. Isn't that amazing? When families are hurting as bad as their taxpayers are hurting as bad. Victoria Woodards is the mayor of Tacoma.
Not to mention just the sheer ability, not only to stand an organization like government up to be virtual, that was a couple years ago when we stood it up, but then to be able to find opportunities to phase back in and make it as helpful and as and put people in a good position to
It's wonderful. Politicians, they do so much more than private sector people. They're so much better than private sector people. So as families are hurting as much as they are, that's what they're doing down in Tacoma. But that's not all. Let's go up north now. Let's go up to Snohomish County now, where the superintendent of Everett Public Schools just got a contract extension and a raise. Ian Saltzman, his base salary was $261,000. The Everett School Board just voted unanimously to boost his base salary to $300,176. Over $300,000. That's last year he got a big raise to $276,000. So there's another big raise of another $24,000 a year. Let's dip down just a little bit south of Everett. Mukilteo, the superintendent of the Mukilteo School District, Allison Brinelson, just agreed to a raise. She will earn $293,767 a year. She'll also receive a $10,000 longevity bonus in June of 23. A benefit commonly used to retain superintendents. I've been doing this show for 27 years. Where's my longevity bonus? So Mukilteo will get $293,000 a year for the superintendent. Once again, 50% of public school students in our state do not meet basic English standards. 80% do not meet basic math standards. Our schools are failing our children, and administrators are getting rich off of taxpayers who are struggling to fill the tank and put food on the table. This is wrong. It's absolutely obscene. But it's politicians feathering each other's nests, and that's all it is. And until you and I start speaking with our votes about demanding that they educate kids before they get these massive raises, is that an unreasonable thing to ask? All right, let's see what an old friend of ours is up to. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, as you've no doubt learned over the last couple of years, I am a fan of Jonathan Chum. He was at Channel 4 as a street reporter, mainly covering the homelessness crisis in our region. I thought he's always done a great job. He parted ways with Channel 4. He and I pledged we would stay in touch, and he contacted me Sunday night and said he had some pretty cool news that was announced yesterday afternoon. Jonathan Cho joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Jonathan, good to talk to you.
Dory, it's awesome to be back. And again, like I've said many times, you really know who your friends are during a crisis. So thank you for being a friend first.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, I was a big fan of your work, and I got to know you and talk with you personally. And I know and understand your commitment to what you do. So my big fear when you left Channel 4 was that you were going to leave the region because you're not a local guy. You didn't grow up here, but You're going to stick around now, it sounds like. Tell me what the new gig is.
Yeah, Dory, this was completely out of left field, but I've just been named a senior fellow and in-house journalist at Discovery Institute, which is a Seattle-based think tank. If you know the name Christopher Rufo, he used to direct the Center on Wealth and Poverty there as well, and I'm sort of going to be following in his footsteps, but I'm going to be primarily focusing, again, on the homeless crisis here in Seattle, along with crime. So essentially, I'm picking up where I left off.
So you're going to focus on it as a journalist, but also as a member of a think tank?
Yeah, I know that's kind of weird. Discovery Institute is one of the most prestigious think tanks out there, and they have multiple programs. But the program I'm going to be under is the Fix Homelessness Initiative, and that's what I'm going to be leading. You can follow all my work at fixhomelessness.org, as well as all of the social media platforms I'm already on. But yeah, I want to be very clear. I'm not going to be an activist journalist. I'm going to just be a straight street reporter like I used to be. And I'll be really focusing on the video narrative again. As you've seen, you know, my work online, just in the past month and a half, I really haven't gone anywhere. I've continued to do my reporting. I've been at the mayor's press conferences. I've been at the homeless encampment clearings. And I'm still committed to this region and the city. And there's still tons of work that needs to be done. So I'll be blogging. I'll be, you know, tweeting. And you can find, again, a lot of my work at fixhomelessness.org now.
Okay. So as part of this Fix Homelessness mission, is it also your job and the Discovery Institute's job in the private sector to try to come up with better solutions than what we've been seeing in the public sector?
Yeah, well, we definitely have experts in this area when it comes to the homeless crisis. But what I'm going to do is continue to spotlight and tell those stories that have not been told. And I'm going to bring in other experts, outside experts, who will be able to offer some perspective, maybe some solutions. And that's what I want to continue to, you know, foster. That's the conversation I want to drive right now, because quite frankly, well, I have a lot of respect for the rest of the media in Seattle. We're not, you know, going in depth on these stories that really need to be told. And I just want to add another voice and perspective to this.
Well, and there's another issue too. And I know you know this as well as anyone, because you've been chronicling the malaise that we have in this area. But, you know, I call it the homelessness industrial complex for a reason. I think that right now the $1 billion or so that Seattle and King County spend every year on homelessness is much more designed to just spend the money than to fix and address homelessness. I mean, there are a lot of people who are making big six-figure salaries on the homelessness industry, but I'm not seeing things get any better. In fact, we're seeing things get worse as we spend more and more, and on a per capita basis, we're spending as much as any city in the country, and things have gotten dramatically worse over the last few years. So that's the problem that's going on right now with what government's doing in this area.
Yeah, and this fellowship will allow me to have the time and the resources to pursue these in-depth, deep-dive investigations. Dory, bottom line, you hit it right on the head. I want to follow the money trail and the paper trail. Where is all of this money going? Who's getting this money, and how is it being spent? Bottom line, it's about accountability, right? Transparency. And that's something I want to continue to pursue and hopefully uncover, because there is just a lot of unanswered questions out there when it comes to this issue, the homeless crisis, and I'm chasing it.
Well, the other thing I hope you chase, Jonathan, and I'd love to give you a platform on my show for a lot of the work that you have to do in the months and years ahead. But the thing that I talk about all the time is the root cause, which is that drugs are legal here, and this is the friendliest place in the nation to be a drug addict, because you don't get prosecuted for shoplifting or for car prowls, for the daily crimes that have to be committed so that people can get their daily fix. And then drugs are legal, so there's just no barrier for people being a drug addict. So we can spend billions on housing And if we get housing for 5,000 people and 10,000 from around the country come to our region because they know it's the best place to be a heroin or meth addict, then we're going to be losing ground. And until we start getting some policy changes on the root cause of this problem, then no amount of money is going to fix it.
Yeah, Dory, I know around here when it comes to public policy on the homelessness crisis, we talk about housing first, and that's something I'm going to be scrutinizing, especially as more money comes in for those types of initiatives. But it, bottom line, some of the root causes, it's mental health and addiction. One of my first stories that I'm going to be spotlighting and putting out there will be these very topics, the mental health and addiction piece. I'm going to be following several addicts on the street here in Seattle who confess and tell me they're boosting, they're stealing to fuel and feed their addiction, and they're not concerned at all about being arrested or prosecuted.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm with you on all that. Well, shoot, Jonathan, if you need a platform for the work that you do beyond all your online platforms, I'd love to have you on my show on a regular basis here.
Yeah, Dory, thank you so much. Again, I'm just glad to be back in the mix. I really haven't left the region, and I'm just going to be continuing more from a deep dive sort of academic way of telling the story.
Yeah, I like it. And you're in a think tank now. Wow.
Yeah, for a guy who limped out of college, I never thought I'd be surrounded by all this intellectual horsepower. And it's a nonprofit, bottom line. So I'm also going to be raising some funds to continue this work and to support my work. So thank you again for everything, Dory.
I tried getting in a think tank, but they told me I was running on fumes. So didn't happen for me. All right, Jonathan Cho now with Seattle's Discovery Institute. We'll continue to scrutinize some of the things that we're doing with our billions on homelessness and housing. Jonathan, congratulations. Good to hear.
Thanks again, my friend.
All right, Jonathan Cho, independent journalist. Man, all my friends are getting away from corporate media. Brandy Cruz has gone independent. Had great conversations and just so informative with Ali Bradley, who used to be at Fox 13, and she's an independent journalist now. She was down in Uvalde, Texas, coming on my show yesterday. Jonathan's going independent. This corporate media thing. I don't know. No, I love this. I love this. I'll hang in there. Okay, that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
With 20-year high record gun violence in Seattle and King County, what's Dow Constein doing about it? He's telling us what a great job he's done on gun violence. Also, two teenagers were stabbed in the U District yesterday, and I have not heard one local politician calling for comprehensive knife control. And I didn't hear the stabbings referred to as knife violence. That's weird. Get to all of that after we check the news for you here on the Dory Monson Show. Andrew, do you realize how happy I'm going to be exactly 24 hours from this second?
I don't think I know why exactly you'll be happy in 24 hours.
You know why. You know, come on.
Oh, yes, Deadmau5, of course.
Right now, 24 hours from now, we will begin getting into a weekend vibe. Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, I tell you. Two teenagers were stabbed in the U District last night, about 6 o'clock in the evening. A 16-year-old and a 19-year-old had been stabbed. The 19-year-old is in critical condition. Argument escalated between the two teenagers and a man. The suspect, a white man in his 20s to 30s, took off on a bicycle. It's believed he was wearing jeans and a black hat and carrying a black bag. And since the mass stabbing last night, we've heard no politicians calling for comprehensive knife control. We've heard absolutely no grandstanding about growing knife violence, even though there is, in King County. Nobody blames the knife. Why is that? Why does nobody ever blame the knife when people are stabbed? But they always blame the gun when people are shot. It's gun violence. Need gun control. Now, it's criminals. Both cases. Criminal with a gun, criminal with a knife. And they both can kill. But no politicians have figured out a way to exploit that. Hey, speaking of exploitative politicians, my dear friend and former classmate at the University of Washington, Dow Constantine, he gave a King County State of the County address yesterday. And, man, the things I do for you, it's really incredible. I sit and watch an entire Dow Constantine speech so you don't have to. But this has always been very hurtful for me. When I was a student at the University of Washington, they had a campus radio station called KCMU. And KCMU, it had about a 10-watt signal. You could hear it to the dorms and not anywhere beyond the dorms. But the thing that was very, very cool for me, I did a Husky football and basketball and baseball play-by-play when I was a student at the UW. And in Husky Stadium, the big dog flagship radio station of Husky football in the grandest era ever for Husky football, when Don James was the coach, great man who did so much for me personally. He was just wonderful, wonderful to me. But they couldn't get Como radio in the elevator at Husky Stadium that went up to the press box. And so they got KCMU because it was 93.3, I think, 93.3 FM. But the FM signal penetrated into the press box at Husky Stadium. So it always thrilled me as a kid who was just starting out in broadcasting, knowing that all of the media people taking the elevator up to the press box, that they were listening to us on KCMU doing, you know, before and after the games, pregame and postgame stuff. And that just, I always got a big kick out of that, that media people were forced to listen to me in the press box elevator. Anyway, when I was a student at KCMU at the University of Washington, Dow Constantine also worked at KCMU. And I don't know, and you know me, I don't remember names. I don't remember faces. I'm sure I knew him. I just don't remember him. I don't know if he remembers me from back then. As a politician, he's probably a lot better at names and faces. But anyway, so we have all these commonalities going back. We were probably side by side at KCMU a few times. And now the man won't talk to me. I've invited him on the show 20, 30 times over the years. He won't talk to me. Dow doesn't like talking to people who have different opinions. So I have to sit and watch his press conferences now. So anyway, 20-year record high criminal violence with guns in King County. Dow, what you doing?
One of the areas urgently needing our attention is gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
Most communities look for solutions city by city. But we have built a regional, data-driven, public health-centered approach to reducing gun violence. Our teams are intervening with high-risk individuals, connecting with community-based support.
Okay, this is why he won't talk to me. Because he says that, what did he just say?
It's a regional, data-driven, public health-centered approach to reducing gun violence.
They've built an approach to reducing gun violence. And yet, it's at a 25-year record high. How do you call that a solution? How do you call that reducing? How can it be? It's only in government where increasing in their minds means reducing. No, I can see why he doesn't want to talk to me, because I just ask him that. If you're reducing gun violence, why is it increasing? Okay, Dow, back to you.
Our teams are intervening with high-risk individuals, connecting with community-based supports to prevent shootings, and seeking to repair the damage done by guns in our community.
done by guns, not by criminals, not by gangs, not by drug dealers. It's all done by the guns. They just magically, poof, go off. Nobody applied any pressure to the trigger. They just, the guns do all the damage. The criminals, they don't do anything. Criminals are cool. I love criminals.
That kind of rethinking is made possible only when a community works together. And now we have a new partner in this fight, the White House.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Everything the White House touches turns to gold. Oh, man. Okay, so whose fault is all this now?
The shooter's violent screed was riddled with the same hateful rhetoric.
He's talking about the Buffalo shooter here.
All too familiar in what passes for political discourse in the dark corners of the internet and on primetime cable news. White supremacy, hate, bias. These currents, these deep defects have long dragged down our nation. We have set a course to make...
Get down. Let me interrupt you here. Let's have a conversation. This is what I'd ask if he was in studio. You say it's white supremacy's fault. The majority of suspects in the shootings in your county, according to Seattle and King County, Seattle Police and King County Sheriff's Office, the majority of the suspects are black and brown people. So you have to go to Buffalo to try to make your point about white supremacy. But if most of the shootings in your county are being done by black and brown people, Dow, then how in the world is this a white supremacy problem? Would that be a fair question to ask? Yeah, I would duck me too.
King County intentionally anti-racist, purposefully pro-equity, actively daily working to overcome our nation's history and to write a new future consistent with our highest ideals.
Highest ideals. Dow's not said a word about the tweet from his good friend and campaign donor, Nick Hanauer. I'll keep repeating Nick Hanauer's tweet. He went on Twitter yesterday and prayed, "Dear God, please reach down in all your mightiness and give all of these Republican politicians terminal cancer. Let them die excruciatingly painful deaths and then chuck them into hell for all eternity."
To overcome our nation's history and to write a new future consistent with our highest ideals.
Yes, your good friend Nick Hanauer is consistent with your highest ideals. And I'm glad you only associate and accept money from the noblest of people. What a load of... quick time out. Then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Man, new disaster polls for Joe Biden out today. Reuters and Ipsos is a very left-leaning poll. And Joe Biden's approval down to 36%. But those, even more important, those who strongly disapprove, 59% now. So he's got a 23% gap. That's huge. And in another poll that's out today, this is a Harvard-Harris poll, 60% of Americans believe that Joe Biden is showing that he is too old to be president. 60% believe the man is not functionally capable of being president of the United States. And the 60% are right. I'm just wondering, what are the other 40% looking at? What's made you think that he's capable of running this country? Man, oh man, oh man. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh, by the way, we have a huge show coming up tomorrow. I'm going to talk to a writer for The Federalist, and she's written incredible pieces about how every K through Biden administration announcing this week that every K through 12 public school in the country must allow boys in the girls' bathrooms and girls in the boys' bathrooms, boys in the girls' locker room, girls in the boys. If they want to get federal lunch money, they have to allow boys into the girls' locker room. It's really shocking stuff. So I'll talk to Joy Pullman, who does great work for The Federalist, on that one. If you missed the story that I led the show with today, by the way, I mean, this shows you how just absolutely upside down everything is. At the elementary school in my neighborhood, where all three of my girls attended, they have coming up a Families of Color play date. On the playground, it's on a Saturday, refreshments provided, and it's open to all grade-level students of color and their families. It's interesting, when I go to the paint store, I see like 40 different versions of white, and white's a color. But this is the bizarre place we are, where the schools are segregating. Black, brown kids, you can come this day to play together. White kids, you just go off by yourself and play. At a time when we should be bringing all kids together, at a time when we should be bridging any racial gaps. But the racial gap, it's not in the little kids. Kids love. The racial gap is with adults who are trying to create a racial gap. So kids of color. So we'll have Joy Pullman from The Federalist. I'm also going to talk to a guy who might be my new hero. And a guy that went to Ballard High School who got to do something absolutely life-changing. Ooh, I got some good stuff for you. All right, back to the audio we go. Awesome audio. Bruce Harrell, he wants Seattle alone to put in some new gun laws.
In response to the Texas shooting, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell called for a change in the state's preemption law, saying cities need to have the freedom to enact laws that reduce gun violence, particularly now as shot.
Okay, that's Fox 13. So Bruce Harrell wants to change the state's preemption law. The preemption law is part of our state constitution. And so if you want, you can't just change it, Mayor. It's part of the state constitution. So you'd have to get, what is like two-thirds or three-quarters of the legislature and three-quarters of the voters. I mean, it's a huge hurdle to clear. And if you can clear it, you can clear it. But you're not going to be able to clear it. But all these people who say that they believe in the Constitution, but I'm okay with the government taking people's private property. Or I believe, they swear to uphold the Constitution. And then they say, but I want to change it. Well, you can't just change it. That's understandably, as it should be, that's a tough hurdle to clear. How about this? You go to a sporting event and you want a little escapism from the madness of the world. This is before the Celtics-Miami Heat game in Miami last night.
The Heat urges you to contact your state senators by calling 202-224-3121 to leave a message demanding their support for common sense gun laws. You can also make change at the ballot box. Visit heat.com/vote to register and let your voice be heard this fall.
Is that what people want? You pay $400 for a ticket so you can just be entertained and get away from the madness. And now they're telling you, tell them you demand change in gun laws. And then there's this. The San Francisco Gay Pride Parade is coming up, and they have told gay and lesbian police officers, sheriff's deputies, firefighters, that they are not allowed to wear their uniforms because uniforms are triggering. And is it just me?
It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
I find that a little ironic. I thought that gay people in police and fire uniforms and wearing Indian headdresses, I thought they were wildly entertaining in the iconic anthem for the gay community. But now Nah, it's triggering now. Separate kids by race. Can't let gay cops march in the pride parade. What happened to inclusivity? I got to get out of here. John Kelly and Sherry Ellicker show. Oh, I hope he jumps off the diving board again today. That one's fresh. That's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you tomorrow. I know.